Welcome to the Living with Purpose podcast. I'm your host, Simone Denny, and I'm here to share with you how to live your purpose, how to be more intentional in life, and how to get the results you desire while enjoying the journey along the way. I coach people around the world on how to find and express their unique blueprint in the world. Join me and my special guests for inspiring stories, practical wisdom, and life reminders for a more fulfilling and joyful life. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. So beautiful to have you tuning in today. As I'm recording this, we have a beautiful autumn day outside. It's been such a lovely long summer and now entering into this beautiful autumn, just slowly easing us towards the colder weather. I have last night been out watching Stephen Bartlett, who is from Diary of a CEO, speak in Auckland. So I'm feeling very inspired and just topped up on lots of amazing mindset tips and also business tips. So one thing that I took away from this is how to be 1% better. So he talks a lot about this, and obviously James Clear talks a lot about this in Atomic Habits, but he was really talking about creating a culture of 1% better. What are tiny little things that you can do that might not feel like they're having a big impact, but over time they compound and they have significant results. But they're sometimes things that are easy not to do. You could do them or not do them, and it wouldn't feel like a big difference. And sometimes on the topic of self-awareness, which we're going to dive into today, it's really similar. It's building your self-awareness 1% at a time, because self-awareness is not something that you can just dive into and then the next day, hurrah, you're self-aware. It is like a lifetime project, but I believe there are lots of practices that can help you move towards a cumulative effort in our self-awareness, a compound effect. So a lot of the things I'm encouraging you to do or share is just things that could be a tiny little action that you take to expand your self-awareness. So originally, I was thinking about calling this podcast Simple Ways to Build Your Self-Awareness Muscle. But actually, it's not simple. It sounds really simple. It sounds so simple just to meditate, or it sounds so simple to have a brave conversation. But these things put us into a lot of discomfort. And they take a lot of practice, because we often want to take ourselves out of our body or out of the present moment into other things that feel really good and delicious and pleasurable for us. So these are powerful ways that maybe aren't difficult, but they do bring up some discomfort in us, if that makes sense. So I'm going to share those with you in a second. But why is it important to build our self-awareness? Let's just start there. I recently just wrote a whole blog on this and did a little video, so you can always head to my website and catch a little bit of the backstory on the power of self-awareness rather than how we get self-aware, which I'm going to talk about today. So there is a lot of talk about self-awareness. And this is for good reason. Self-awareness is a core building block of our own personal development, our own personal growth. You can actually go through quite a lot of growth. You can actually go through quite a lot of personal development, I should say. So there is a lot of talk about self-awareness, and with good reason, because self-awareness is at the core of our own self-development journey. It underlies our own personal growth, our expansion. It is what helps us to have deeper, more fulfilling relationships with others and with ourselves. And it is also at the core of our own deep healing of our past, so that we can really step into the light in our future. So I think a lot of us feel that self-awareness is something that builds over time. I know for me personally, I was working a lot in the self-development space, and I was reading a lot of things and I was teaching a lot of things, but there was still a gap in my self-awareness. So that was like my blind spot. Right up until 40, I had a lot of blind spots that I wasn't aware of. And it really wasn't until I did some deeper work, I brought in maybe coaches or therapists, and did some programs and things that really uncovered some of my shadow parts or some of these hidden beliefs or stories from my past that helped me to truly understand what it meant to be self-aware. And my goodness, I am still on the journey. I am 1% better each day, but it's a journey, self-awareness. It's not a destination. And every time that I meet up with my therapist or I go on another program or I update my skill set by doing more training in my area of internal family systems, I uncover another layer. I uncover a petal of the lotus and open it and open it and open it. And we start to see the truth of who we really are. So through this self-awareness process, we get to shine a light on a myriad of these default thoughts and beliefs and programs. And we get to question if they're really true. Because for much of our life, I know for me, I just thought, this is who I am. This is my personality. This is how I operate. I'm just always going to be a person that's highly driven, that wants to be successful, that needs to be in control of things and take responsibility and say things directly or whatever these things are. I just thought that's who I were. But the more that I am uncovering my own awareness about myself, I see a lot of these have developed over time for good reasons. I'm going to talk about that. So we become more compassionate towards ourselves and others when we build our self-awareness muscle. We make more informed decisions. We cultivate healthier relationships and we experience greater overall well-being. So there has been a lot of research done around self-awareness from various forms, from mindfulness to the workplace and how we can be more self-aware in the workplace. And I really like the work of Tasha Urick. And in her research, she found that about 95% of people believe they are self-aware, when actually only about 12 to 15% have this true self-awareness. And what that self-awareness actually means is that we have a high level of internal self-awareness. So we've done our inner work, we've done examinations of our past, of our history, of why we are like we are, but we also have this high external self-awareness. And what that means is that we have a high awareness of what other people think of us, and we have taken the feedback and we have constructively embedded that and used that as feedback so that we can be better. So sometimes we have these blind spots where maybe we're going deeply into a place of self-investigation and we're kind of like the Buddha in the cave, but we're not getting any feedback. So in this little diagram, this quadrant that Tasha Urick created, she talks about these four different types. And if you've read my newsletter, you know what these are. She talks about those who have high internal self-awareness, but low external self-awareness. So that means that they've done a lot of soul searching, they've uncovered a lot of things in their self, but they haven't had that external feedback from others or that validation or that constructive feedback that we need. So they're sitting in their own cave without that next level of awareness, which can cause blind spots. And then she talks about the seekers, and they have a low external self-awareness. They're not sure about what other people, and they don't spend the time really understanding their own awareness of self. So they have quite a low level of self-awareness, and they can sometimes feel stuck and frustrated and maybe blame other people for why they are like they are. So there is definitely a growth area there. And then we've got the pleasers, which is a high external self-awareness. So they're really tuned into what everyone else thinks and their opinions and their feedback, but they have low levels of internal feedback. So they haven't done a lot of self practices to maybe uncover who they are. So they're like a feather in the wind, where they get very blown around by what other people think, and they're really trying to please other people. So where we really want to be is in this aware state, where we have this beautiful balance of internal self-awareness and external self-awareness, so that we seek out the feedback, we value others' opinions, and we also do our own deep work. She calls it the four self-awareness archetypes, if you want to dig deeply into that. So today I'm going to share with you seven different ways that can help you work on both external and internal self-awareness. And it's, as I said, an ongoing an ongoing practice for all of us. And it's to help us respond differently as well, because often we get triggered or we have these big reactions when we don't have the awareness in ourselves about where this is coming from. So then we tend to lash out, or we get angry. And this can especially happen with our families. I read a quote recently said, our families know how to push our buttons because they installed them. I thought that was a great little reminder for us. I've shared a few different quotes about families and triggers, but what we're trying to do here is just expand our window of tolerance. We want to be able to respond differently. We don't want to be so reactive, and we want to get insight and feedback so that we can continue on our growth journey. So the first one I wanted to share is engaging in brave conversations. And this is something that you might not always think is related to self-awareness, but it is the beginning of you connecting that both internal self-awareness and the external self-awareness, because we're sharing what we're experiencing internally with someone externally. And when it's a conversation, it's a dance between two people. It's not just you telling somebody something, it's you being able to hold the space for them to respond back and share with you how this experience is for them. And when you are in the heat of a moment, or you're flipped your lid and you've gone into your limbic brain and you're in a offline time, that is not the time probably to engage in a brave conversation. You want to be intentional about setting up a brave conversation. So that means maybe asking a person, when would be a good time for us to talk about this, when you're in your right part of your brain? And what we're also inviting you to do is share, but actively listen. And that's that feedback, that's that external self-awareness that we want to bring in. So we can share authentically and bravely when we've actually felt through an experience in our body. Maybe, you know, you had an argument and one person shut down and they went offline and they gave you the silent treatment, and you took that on board as being really hurtful. You felt rejected or abandoned, and you went into your own spiral of that and all the feelings that came with that. And maybe you did something that also was hurtful off the back of that. So we have to feel through these feelings, and we feel it in our body first, and then we go into recognizing, wow, when that happened, I felt rejected or abandoned, and maybe that reminded me of something in my past. And that's the kind of conversation that you can have with that trusted other, and you really want to have that with a safe other person who can hold that for you with empathy as well. And then we invite in what they have experienced for themselves. And this might shine some light on yourself if you can hold it, to be open to that. But it's the courage to actually share the truth of what's going on and actually not sweep things under the carpet, but have the heart, the courage. That's what, you know, core for courage is the meaning heart, to have that discomfort. As Brené Brown says, choose discomfort over resentment, because if we don't have these brave conversations to build our awareness, then we just swallow this down and it lives in our body as unprocessed emotion, and it can build up and seep out in other ways. So the second point, which is probably one of the most obvious for building our self-awareness, and is something, an area that I've done a lot of research and work in, and that is practicing mindfulness. And essentially, mindfulness is just the ability to bring yourself back into the present moment. And we do that through a number of techniques. It can be through the breath. It can be through meditation. It can be through tapping into your five senses. So what do you smell? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you feel? We've left one out there. Not sure which one. But yes, your five senses. So these kind of things can help us land in our body, especially when we're spiraling into our mind and overthinking things and maybe ruminating or going into hypervigilance or anxiety. It's such a beautiful way to land us back into the present moment. And when we're in the moment, we get to come back into our body, we get to calm the mind, and we get to have the clarity through the space If we slow down, we get to see what our thoughts are thinking on a consistent basis. We get to feel what's really happening in our body. And we get to sometimes question that and have curiosity about that. And a lot of our mindful practices invite in this investigative part or this curious part. It's wanting to know more. Why am I feeling this? Why is that thought showing up? Could I choose a different thought? So we can do these practices anywhere. For some of you, you'll feel really comfortable to sit for 20 minutes and meditate, and that might be part of your daily practice. This can really build our self-awareness because we're seeing things that we can't see if we're constantly doing and moving. For some of you, if you find that uncomfortable, you could do just a walk in nature where you start to tune into the sounds around you, or you just tune into the movement of your body and your breathing and bringing yourself into the present moment. It's about choosing what is right for you. And again, as I said, to use your breath to really anchor you into your parasympathetic nervous system is a really powerful way to do that. So the number three, it's related a little bit to number one, is to actively seek feedback. Okay, so the other one was to have a conversation, which is more like a dance. But this is the courage to actually solicit feedback from others about you and your strengths and your weaknesses and your areas for improvements. And again, this takes a lot of courage because we're opening ourselves up for both the good and the bad. And often we prefer just to assume that everything is okay. But this feedback can give you these incredibly valuable insights into how others perceive you, that external self-awareness. And we need that to be truly aware. It can help you to gain a much more accurate understanding of yourself. It can show you where you're on your growth edge, where you want to stretch, but it can also show you what are your strong points, what is your genius, these places that you can really shine from. You can even do this with your own family if you're brave enough to just sit in a hot seat and ask them for their feedback. What do you think is good? What are my work-ons? How could I improve on this? And naturally, in a workplace, it's something that we often have performance reviews and ways of getting feedback. But I really encourage you to do it with other people in your life to really expand that self-awareness. And again, that does take courage, and to really take that feedback as an opportunity for growth. I did hear actually from a talk I went to last night with Stephen Bartlett from Diary of a CEO. He says that all failure is feedback, and feedback is knowledge, and knowledge is power. So I really want you to think about that when we're getting feedback, even if it's negative or feels like a failure, it helps armor us with, you know, good things that we can work on in ourselves rather than taking it as a personal attack. It's a growth area. So number four is to work with a coach or therapist. So self-introspection is a powerful tool. As I said, doing your own work, doing your own meditation, doing your own journaling, all of this is really, really good in this introspective way. But to uncover some of our blind spots and some of our protective parts that are holding us back, it's really important to work with someone who's going to help you to uncover and heal aspects of yourself from your past and your present. So I know for myself personally, my self-awareness grew exponentially through allowing someone to guide me through my blind spots in my past. They knew the questions to ask. They knew the clues of certain behavioral patterns or programs. They knew it much more than I did. And they knew the questions to ask me to help me uncover. And it's an ongoing process. And I know from my work as an internal family systems practitioner that we are always working on expanding awareness of our own parts. So we have these parts of us, and those parts might be a part that becomes anxious, or a part that becomes controlling, or a part that feels like a victim, or a part that becomes overly responsive. And we get to really uncover these parts. And instead of hating them, we get to understand how they have protected you for a long time and how their intention is to keep you safe. And when we get to understand why they do what they do, that they actually have good intentions, We can expand our awareness with ourselves. We don't have to try to pretend these parts don't exist or just hate them and feel ashamed about them. We get to work with them and include our whole system in this work. So, yeah, I highly, highly encourage you to work with a coach or a therapist so that you can expand that external and internal introspection and awareness. So, number five is journaling. I think probably most of you know I'm a huge fan of journaling. It is an incredible self-reflection tool. We can gain so much insight by just getting those thoughts out of our mind and onto paper. And especially when we're not feeling maybe a bit confused, not sure of our emotions, we get to put them onto paper and it really helps us to feel calmer. There's research showing it reduces our stress, but it also creates a lot of clarity for us. Through our writing, we get to see certain patterns, or we get to write about emotions and understand what's under them. I highly encourage you to journal as maybe one of your daily rituals. And you can also grab, I've got a journaling challenge if you don't know some of the questions you want to ask yourself to open up some expansive awareness. So you can just head to my website, simondenny.me, and I think it's under the resources section. There's some great questions to help you expand your self-awareness. Number six is to lean into vulnerability. And I know this is actually a really hard thing to ask people to do. I think for myself, that's something that I have really had to. Well, what can I say? It doesn't come naturally to me, vulnerability, because of the way that I was brought up and the role that I played in my family and the role that I wanted to play in my career and beyond. I never really considered that vulnerability could be a strength, especially in the corporate world, that being vulnerable as a woman in a very male-dominated industry in investment banking, that I did not want to show my vulnerability. And growing up as the oldest daughter, the responsible one who felt like she had to be the caretaker for everyone, again, there wasn't a lot of space for vulnerability. I know some people just lean right in and it feels so easy to share everything and to be deeply vulnerable. And I really admire and love that. But for some of us who've armored up over the years, it's harder and it's a work in progress. It's the 1% each day of how we can be a little bit more vulnerable, a little softer, a little more open. Because when we do build our self-awareness, we're really inviting in this ability to look at our whole self, which means the shadows and the light. And sometimes when we look at our whole self, we see things that we've been trying to hide away, or we've been trying to run away from, or we see things that we don't want other people to see because it feels really vulnerable. It can feel unsafe for us. And I love this quote from Carl Jung. He says, "One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. The latter procedure, however, is disagreeable and therefore not popular." So it is much easier for us to avoid the discomfort of ourselves. It's much easier not to look in the past and poke around and see our wounds and our what we call exile parts, our younger parts that maybe felt unsafe or alone or rejected or abandoned. Why would we want to go back there? The reason we want to go back there is because our past is informing our future. And so much of our healing needs to come through actually witnessing and acknowledging some of these parts of ourselves in a way that does shine the light on them. So I like this saying, shame dies when exposed to light. And I know that Brené Brown also talks a lot about this, about how when we can bring these things that we feel shame or that feel heavy or that we want to hide away into the light, it's no longer a burden for us anymore. I really encourage you to do that. So number seven is to develop empathy and compassion. And really the most important place to practice that is with ourselves. And self-compassion is a really important part of any introspective journey to self-awareness. So when we can treat ourselves like a kind friend, it makes it safe for our system to go deeper.
If you imagine that you shared some of these shadowy parts with somebody, these parts of ourselves that feel vulnerable or have been locked away, or we start to uncover messy parts of ourselves with a friend and they turned around and were judgmental and critical of us, we probably wouldn't keep sharing that, right? We'd probably clam up and just want to smooth that over and never discuss it again. And it's the same when we are working on ourselves and we're turning towards ourselves and these parts of ourselves that maybe haven't had a lot of attention. We want to turn towards ourselves like a kind, trusted friend. We want to show ourselves that empathy and compassion throughout the journey of self-awareness, because it's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's really deep work that requires a gentleness in us to be able to move through it, and a forgiveness often, and a patience as well with these tender parts of our past. Practicing empathizing and compassion with others is also really important to understand their perspectives and feelings and motivations, and making it safe for them to share so that you can understand and have feedback from them too. So those are the seven main points. I'll just recap for you what they are. They're engaging in brave conversations, practicing mindfulness, meditation, actively seeking feedback, working with a coach or therapist, journaling, leaning into vulnerability, and developing empathy and compassion. So if you would like to fast track some of your self-awareness, I would really encourage you to come on an immersive retreat. As some of you know, I have a retreat coming up in the middle of May in Byron Bay, and really our focus is on expanding that self-awareness. It's an immersive experience away from the day-to-day, so you can practice the self-awareness through your body, through your mind and spirit. We get to somatically feel things. We get to do self-inquiry. You get to be held by me as a coach and facilitator, as well as other facilitators who are going to be coming in to work with you from lots of different angles. It is a beautiful experience. We're going to be bringing in some internal family system work and creating that spaciousness so that you can have that insight and awareness for that to come through, so we get that both internal and external self-awareness going on. So love to hear from you. Where is your growth edge for your own self-awareness? What are some practices that you could do to help build your self-awareness? Where do you need to lean into more? Is it the internal introspective part of self-awareness, or is it getting more of that external self-awareness from others? Do comment below. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please do take a screenshot and share it, and make sure you like and subscribe. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.